Texas. They say everything's bigger here, and they're right. We've got big cars, big hearts, and even bigger stakes. This is beef country, Texas, home to the Alamo, the Cowboys, and the largest military installation known to man. So big, it has a big name. Fort Hood, the great place. It's got a Texas-sized podcast as well. And this is it, right here, Fort Hood's great big podcast. Yeehaw.
This is the intro, right?
Beef country. Texas. Home to the Alamo. And the greatest military organization installation.
I love this.
Keep going. Hello.
We're here.
Hello. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Been a great show, and
we'll be back right after this.
this is the intro, though, right?
This is the beginning of the show. Where have you been? This is the beginning of the show. Welcome, everyone. Welcome.
So the music was playing in your head.
Yes.
Music is always playing in my head, Dave.
Well, I get voices. I don't know about you.
A little bit of both. A little bit of both.
I get both.
A little bit of both. So how's everyone been?
It's been great not being quarantined, I have to say.
That's my general outlook on life. I think that was a normal opinion before now, and now it's a special opinion.
Now it's a treat.
Having not been quarantined, but being mission essential, and all I do is come to work and go home, and come to work and go home. And a lot of days the work is like, you know, more than 8 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really feeling it. I wish this crap was over.
Yeah.
I find myself.
I can imagine because you guys are continuously working.
Yeah.
And you have less personnel.
I don't have a
life.
Like
support. Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to not have a life and you're vegging on the couch. It's the other thing, you're going to work every day and you still don't have a life.
Yeah.
I'm sick of it.
No, I'm sorry.
I see these things, and I'm not meaning to throw shade on anyone, but if you want to email us, it's forthoodpao@gmail.com. So I'm not meaning to throw shade, but I see all these things. Thank you to the essential personnel in the retirement.
The medical workers.
And I'm sitting there going, hey, what about us information people?
Yeah.
The ones that keep the information going so you can find out what's happening
what's
in the world.
Yeah.
Hello.
You guys are still grinding.
No one's thanking us.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
It's a thankless job, but you want to know what? We still show up every day.
We're still doing
the podcast, even though no one's thanked me. No one.
We're just here for entertainment.
Not even your mama?
Well, my mom does.
Okay.
Oh.
She does.
Well, will it make it better if I thank you?
No, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, now it just feels forced and not genuine.
I assumed it was to begin with.
No, I genuinely do appreciate you guys.
Well, we appreciate you. It's nice having you back.
Yes. Thank you.
It really is.
I'm glad to be back.
It's the dynamic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Trio.
Mm-hmm. It's just not the same if one of us is missing.
That's right.
Yeah.
None of us can ever leave.
That's right.
Yeah, good luck with that.
The triangle, the strongest geometric shape.
Yep, the strongest geometric shape.
It is.
Huh?
The triangle is the strongest shape.
What about a line? A line is a shape.
She's the math major, right?
Isn't it? Isn't a line a shape?
A line is a shape, but like...
It's pretty strong.
It is, but triangles are stronger.
Okay.
Because it's got a pointy edge that can cut through anything.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
When you like build bridges and stuff, like mm-hmm. engineering, they used triangles.
You build a lot of bridges in the band, do you?
We built the bridge of communication.
And that's what we do.
Okay.
They build the bridge over troubled waters.
We do. We.
Like a bridge.
Hearts and minds, Charlie. We win the hearts and minds.
Water.
We go out to the front and we're like, hey, we're not so bad.
She didn't get Simon and Garfunkel. I get it. I thought you would.
I didn't know.
I got it. We go to the front and we tell people, hey, we're not so bad.
That's right. Community relations.
That's right. Well, that is
exactly what the band
does. The band performs a vital role in that.
But we are not essential.
Actually.
Well, when nobody can you know, when no one can gather, it's pretty hard to play to the masses.
Well, all of our events.
Oh, I've seen online where
have been canceled.
Hey, I've seen online where other bands from around the military.
Yeah, big army bands doing that.
Zooming or something, and they're virtual all playing concerts. At the same time. And what are you guys doing, band?
We rehearse, but at a distance, so it's kind of weird because normally you have to sit close to each other to, mm-hmm. so you can hear. But now we're all separated.
Well, interestingly enough. Talking about music, a study has been done. A 2019 review in the journal Annual Research and Review in Biology have found that both performing and listening to music can have a significant impact on the immune system. You know that?
Yes.
Performing?
Both performing and listening to music.
So when you were singing Lounge Lizard last week.
Or Bridge Over Troubled Water this week.
Exactly. Dave, thank you.
You are strengthening your immune system.
Well, good on me.
Mm-hmm.
That cough says otherwise.
Oh. According to the 2013 review in the journal Brain Behavior and Immunity. Ooh, that seems like a read, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
The emotional and psychological effects of listening to music have direct impact on biomarkers and hormone levels. Immunoglobulin A, which plays a crucial role in immune functions, was cited as being, quote, particularly responsive to music.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Blah, 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 responsive to music.
But the big question is, does it matter what kind of music? Is it just any music? Huh? Can you listen to Weird Al? Strengthen your immune system, or does it have to be?
I'm an inquiring mind. I want to know.
Well, it does.
Ooh.
But it depends on this. This is the weird thing. Ready?
How you are wired.
Is it how you respond to it?
Yes.
I knew
it's
it.
If you like the music or not. So you can't just listen to any music.
I've read studies on this, actually.
So NSYNC will probably destroy us all.
Oh, I love NSYNC.
Do you really?
Oh, she'll survive.
Do you really? Seriously. Yes. No, I'm serious. Seriously.
Tearing up my heart when I'm goodness. With you.
What have I stepped into here?
But when we are apart, I feel it too.
Oh, yeah.
Serious?
Yeah, I love NSYNC.
Wow. Well, you know what?
Yes.
It's going to be a sad podcast without you, but we'll make it.
We had a good run.
We did. So, cool. A lot of fun stuff in today's show. We're glad you're here, and we'll get into it right after
these messages.
Sure, why not? Flermit the Sock here for the Thrift Savings Spam. Is it meat? Who knows?
Cut.
What?
Flermit, baby, look at this script. Mm-hmm. It clearly says Thrift Savings Plan.
Oh, yeah.
It's about saving money, not lunch meat. Not Let's lunch. Try this again.
Thanks, Steve. Flermit the Sock here for the Thrift Savings Plan.
You got it, baby.
Soldiers and DOD civilians, listen up. Are you socking away a little bit of money each month in your TSP? What? You're not? They call me crazy. The Thrift Savings Plan is a great way to make sure that you've got the supplemental income you need when you get old and wrinkly.
Plus, the government can match up to 5% of your contribution. That's a free money. Make it rain, Uncle Sam. Make it rain. So look out for your future and sock some money away in the Thrift Savings Plan account. Visit www.tfp.gov for more information. You can retire like an ex-prince moving to L.A., or in my case, his wife.
That's a wrap.
Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast, your tax dollars at work.
So with all my shopping this weekend,
yeah.
Okay, one of the things I notice is that people are not very good at following rules. And I don't know why that, like, occurred to me, because it seems it's one of those kind of obvious things.
Yeah, you're surprised.
Yeah, no. But that, I mean, it really got underlined. Maybe it's because, you know, I'm spending either my time here in the office or at home, and I'm not going out so much, mm-hmm. quarantining, social distancing.
Yeah.
That when I do go out in public, it's like, what is happening here, people? It's like I'm in some sort of weird zoo in a alternate dimension. But I noticed, you know, New York's got it so much worse than we do.
Yeah, they
but
do.
We got soldiers up there helping out. Mm-hmm. Just tons of stuff are being poured into New York to mm-hmm.
yes.
to better that place. And I saw that this story out of Brooklyn, despite weeks of constant warnings, police say roughly 60 people turned up in a barber shop. Now, I thought, you know, barbershop, well, you know, especially in the military, people are concerned about haircuts
yeah.
and all that. And to me, I mean, in a time like this, just buy a pair of clippers, take it off. You're in the military. I mean.
Or, you know, start shaving.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I did.
Yep.
Drill sergeant in my advanced individual training said, every Monday you are expected to have a fresh haircut. And I did the math and I was like, oh, that was expensive.
Yeah.
And so I started shaving my head. And that's how I got to be bald. Because when I decided to grow my hair back some 3 or 4 years later, it was gone.
Didn't happen.
It was gone. That was the last time I ever saw it. But anyway, so
R.I.P.
The police show up to this barber shop in Brooklyn, but it's not a barber shop anymore. They turned the barber shop into a nightclub. Disguised as a barber shop.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so silly. People,
and this is what I don't get, because we have so much information out there saying, hey, don't get close to people now.
Right.
It's not like you haven't seen that. It's not like you haven't noticed that something is up out there. Things seem different. But we can't stop 60 people from cramming into a barber shop.
I'm sure there's more. Like, this one story, there has mm-hmm. to be like
oh yeah,
more, like
I mean, they opened that beach in Florida.
Yeah, I saw that.
And just everybody,
everyone went to the beach and like.
Just curious
minutes.
Though,
mm-hmm.
what happened to those 60 people?
Well, two of them were arrested because they had outstanding warrants for gun charges.
Okay.
And then everybody else got a fine of up to $1,000.
Wow, great life and decisions
they were
there.
Told to disperse. So I guess we know where that check from the government, that $1,200 is going for those folks. They spent a night at the barbershop.
Right back into the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, paying it forward.
Yeah.
But speaking of them. Following rules.
Yes.
Brianna, do you have someone to announce? I
yes,
think you do.
Yes, we have somebody new today.
Somebody new. I love
what?
It.
What?
You have someone new.
We do.
New to you.
Yeah, well, new to me. Yes, yes. Let me clarify that. Yes, we have Command Sergeant Major Adam Nash, and he is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Task Force Phantom on Fort Hood. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me this morning.
Hey, Sergeant Major.
Sir.
Charlie was talking about following directions.
That I was.
We are the Army. I mean, we major in following directions, right? Yet, Charlie's also the social media manager. He's been getting a lot of private messages.
That I have.
About basically diming people out for not doing the right thing.
That they are.
how from your foxhole, senior enlisted advisor, to the deputy commanding general 3 Corps, how should Fort Hood go about following directions and deal with it when they see folks not?
Charlie said down here in Texas, completely different from New York, different right. scenario. Mm-hmm. So, and I think for your common soldier or just your commoner here within Central Texas, COVID is not as scary as it is in New York.
Right.
It's not happening. Like, if you go and get 10 to 20 people and be like, hey, do you know anybody with COVID-19 that's got a positive test?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say that they probably don't. So yeah. It's not real. It's not a real threat to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Much like, you know, throughout the many years of war, we've instituted, hey, you got to wear your body armor if you're going from point A to point B while sure. on the FOB. And a lot of people are like, why? That where's the threat? I don't see the threat.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the threat is very real. You know, it's a ticking time bomb in some communities just because of the closeness. I think that's just the human race. We like interaction. We like closeness.
Mm-hmm.
And when you ask us to do the opposite of that, not interact, not touch, shake hands, and so on, it's kind of a off. We're not mm-hmm. used to doing that. And then what's the reason, the why? We need to do a better job of explaining the why. And, you know, if you just watch the news, every night I watch the news right before Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune is a family thing we love. My wife, my son, and I, we all pick a character. Hey, that's who we're going to go and, you know, follow and root for.
Uh-huh. But, oh, that's cute.
Yeah, I always lose. But I'm like the token loser.
There you go.
But I think that news, you know, that's scary because it gives you the numbers. And numbers don't lie. It's kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as for the military and following rules, you know, the new norm. The new norm right now is social distancing, wearing a mask if you can't achieve social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
But the new norm or the norm back in the Army was squaring people away or making a correction.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten away from that. As a human race, we like interaction, we like closeness, but we've sort of gotten, we've gotten away from feeling empowered or even having the courage to make an on the spot correction or just squaring, hey, your boots aren't bloused. Hey, you're not wearing your hat correctly. Your hands are in your pockets.
Mm-hmm.
You need a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Not in your case, Charlie, you know, whatever the fact is, hey, yeah. there's a bunch of people congregating. Maybe I should go say something. And you don't feel, you know, maybe we ought to ask the soldiers, hey, why aren't you making these corrections? And there's probably a good portion of our soldiers that are making corrections, and that's outstanding. And there's also probably a portion that don't want to be the bad guy or label that guy or he or she's going on a power trip by doing that. No, I'm just looking out for the health and welfare of my fellow soldier by making this on-the-spot correction or squaring this group of people away. Mm-hmm. Because let's be honest, this COVID-19 thing is getting old, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's getting old. People are getting frustrated with it. They don't see the enemy at the door. You know, soldiers coming down with COVID. So the threat to a lot of these people that have been very patient. And I appreciate that we have made such huge strides. And honestly, I think with our numbers on Fort Hood in the surrounding Bell, Coryell County have shown what a terrific job our leadership and our just everyday soldiers across the formation have done a great job of protecting the force.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can't really not credit the formation for doing a great job with that mm-hmm. because it could have been worse.
Sure.
Had soldiers not followed instructions up until this point, doing the right things, washing their hands, social distancing, now wearing masks and all that.
Well, I think that's part of the reason why they don't feel the urgency to stay apart more or maybe have a get together. Because as you said, they're not seeing this because what we've been doing has been working.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to continue doing that
mm-hmm.
if we don't want to see those numbers go up. Because by the time we see a spike, by the time we see a problem, it's already too late with this thing.
Yeah.
Because it's already, it's the silent silent spreader out there. You're not going to see it coming. It's just all of a sudden one
the
day.
The invisible enemy. Yes.
It is the invisible enemy.
Well, it is because of the incubation period. Yes, you know, it could be anywhere from 3 to 5 days. Charlie could be infecting us all today.
I very well could be.
Let's hope not.
Socially distant.
Fingers crossed.
He looks like a pretty clean fella.
I try to be.
He did cough on the last podcast.
I did. That was because
right
of water.
You listened to it.
Not into this microphone, right?
Water. No. I drank something and it went down the wrong path.
I didn't see him drink anything.
Maybe you need to pay more attention then. Maybe that's the key.
Well, as long as you coughed into your elbow.
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Great.
Isn't that weird that we do the whole cough into your, they put that out, cough into your elbow, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they're like, elbow high fives. It seems to be counterproductive.
Well, you don't cough to the outside of your elbow. Oh, that's true. You cough to the inside. But
that's true.
No, you're 100% correct.
It's like you're flinging it at people.
It'd be a personal attack. But going back, yes, we need to continue on with all of these implementations that we have, really, to get over the hump, and then get back to life as we know it.
Yes.
But nobody can tell us what the new norm after this. After the threat has subsided significantly, what is common life going to be like? Are we going to be reluctant to shake hands anymore?
I think that one of the bigger problems, especially for people my age.
Can you define what that means, people my age?
Millennials. Oh. Yeah, sorry. The younger, not as young as like the Gen Zers. That's the group that's
early 20s teens.
Yeah, the early 20s teens. They really, and we did too, for the most part, grew up like in an instant gratification world. So everything we have is like literally at our fingertips. Yeah. And I think that they've never lived through something like this where you know, you have to wait, you know, and that's hard for them. That's what I've noticed.
Are you crazy? I would think that they would be absolutely over the moon because, one, they don't have to leave their house. Stay on the couch. Watch streaming movies and videos,
too. It's a rebellious thing.
Don't answer the door.
Yeah.
I mean, this is text everybody. Have food delivered to you. This is your utopia.
Yeah.
This is like...
You would think, but it's like as soon as you tell someone that you can't do something, then what they're gonna that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Like it's... You take it away.
I think you can reach the end of the internet. I do.
Oh, absolutely.
I think, you know, after 3 weeks, you know, depending on what your hobbies are, you know, if you wake up and you're watching YouTube videos of somebody clipping their cat's nails or something, like, okay, I've reached the end of the internet.
That side of the internet.
The new normal. You actually got a bunch of kudos on social media for your mask making skills.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Wow. From last week's video.
Home ec in sixth grade. Paid off.
So you are mission essential, right?
Yep.
Tell me what it's like in the Nash household.
I think the only thing that's changed is that, I mean, I still do PT every morning. I go to work.
Right.
I come home and my wife and son haven't gone anywhere. Yeah. You know, they're doing really good job. Well, my son did go get his oil changed in his truck, but had to make an appointment for that.
Right.
Said the practices at the dealership are very good,
mm-hmm.
but really we haven't gone anywhere.
Yep.
Do anything. So even on the weekends, they're sort of anticlimactic. You know, you're like, oh man, I can't wait for the weekend to come. I'm going to do so much. And like this past weekend, Saturday was kind of a wash because the weather was really poor.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yesterday was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And my back lawn looks beautiful because I have nothing to do except for mow the lawn, pull some weeds, hit some golf balls around the backyard. But we pretty much, normal routines, except for the weekends, we got to find something else to watch. Although I think it's a couple wins. In my household, I'm not ashamed to admit, my wife controls the remote. I don't have the attention to span. You know, I always do it wrong. The volume's wrong, whatever. So I'll just sit there. But I have made a couple wins since we've started the shelter in place.
Okay.
I've got my wife to watch Naked and Afraid.
He loves that show.
I love Naked and Afraid.
And my son's convinced he's going to put an application in to go.
Oh, what?
I know, right? There are a couple of rules in the Nash household she used to have, but the new norm is those rules don't apply. Is Adam can't watch anything with gold, Alaska, or How It's Made on TV. Like, I can't watch it. Those are all my favorite programs, anything like that.
But we have oddly similar television viewing habits.
I have to tell you. I can see Charlie's eyes are like glistening. Like he's like so excited.
Oh yeah. They're great. They're great shows.
Oh yeah.
I like to watch a program that I can learn something from, right. even if it's, you know.
Yeah, and I like those too.
If I can yell at the TV too, and that's great because the TV can't hear you. So it doesn't matter. You can just take your frustrations out on
TV. Yeah,
there's
no sports, so, you know, yell at a TV show.
Yes. What a big letdown. You know, we missed the end of hockey season. We missed the beginning of baseball season.
March Madness. Bye-bye.
You know what I hate?
I don't.
I hate. I'm going to pull it back to Naked and Afraid here.
Of course you will.
I don't like it when they have the people on there that are really good at what they're doing because I don't watch that show to see true survivalists thriving naked in the wilderness. I go to see the idiots.
Did you watch last night? Because last night it was full of it.
Oh no, we got it's Westworld now for us, so we've been watching Westworld.
I've heard that's good.
It's very good.
What season are they on?
Three.
I got into Westworld when we were deployed one time. It was on the media drive. I watched the first season. I'm like, oh my God, this is the best show ever.
But what happened on Naked and Afraid last night? Catch me up.
So you had two repeaters on there, two contestants that had tapped out previously.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl, I believe it was Jen and Brandon. So Jen was a repeater. Her first challenge, her partner tapped out on day two, and then she did 11 days by herself.
Wow.
Same thing happened this time. So Jen was there. She's like, hey, my partner tapped out on me in the first. The first guy was like, oh, we're in this to the end. And after two, not even 48 hours, he's like, yeah, I'm not feeling it. I'm out of here. And she's like, what the heck?
What is the show?
Okay, so they take two people.
Okay.
They have to be completely naked. Ugh. And they put them in some wilderness location somewhere in the world, usually someplace uncomfortable.
Where do they go normally?
They'll be in the rainforests.
Oh, it's not in the U.S.
They'll be in a desert. Yeah. There'll be some places in the U.S. up in the mountains something like that, or Alaska for 21 days with only just like a couple things. So they'll get like maybe a pot to boil water or maybe a fire starter. Some people are stupid. They've brought like a... They could have brought the fire starter, but they bring a snorkel mask or a magnifying glass.
So they get to choose.
Yeah, you get to choose.
And don't forget, they're naked.
And they're naked. And then they got to survive for 21 days. Get their own food, get their own water.
Wait, and they show that on?
Well, that's blurred out.
Yeah,
okay.
It's some guy's job, the video, you know, video guy post-production, just to walk around with a blur thing.
I've been wondering if that's like a good job to be a cameraman on that or a bad job.
I would say they can't interact with them then? Like they just
They're not supposed to.
Okay.
You know, occasionally somebody gets really sick or... chops their finger or something,
gosh. And so is it
like, Survivor on steroids? Really,
I've never seen.
Except nobody gets voted off
the
island.
Idiot Survivor.
So if you like that, there's on the history. So this is all on Discovery Channel. On the History Channel, they have the program called Alone.
I love Alone as well.
And it once I retire from the military, my son has already said, "Hey, we're doing Alone together," which is they've had a couple seasons where they've been it's usually just one person, but they've had a couple seasons where it's as partners, and there was a father son team, and he's like, we can totally do that, but with Alone you get clothes, you actually get to bring 10 items, no handguns, no weapons like that, anything shoots bullets, but you can choose the 10 items, whether
you
it's
can
a
have
sleep,
a knife,
a not yeah sleeping yeah. bag. Fishing.
You can have a bow and arrow.
You can have, and that usually takes place on the Pacific Northwest, somewhere in Canada or Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredible show.
Yeah, these people are like building houses.
Seriously,
that's
yeah,
crazy.
Little house. Wow. They built a little cabin.
That's amazing.
By hand, and
I don't think I could do that.
I mean, they go unlike Naked and Afraid, which is 21 days. It's just voyeurism. Alone, it's until everybody says enough.
Last man standing.
So they'll get the last two people, and it's like they've been going 3 months.
Do they get a prize? Like, do they get anything?
Yeah, and Alone they do. Naked and Afraid, there's no prize.
What?
So they get to be on TV naked.
What? I do not. See, this is why I don't. This is why I'm not surprised that people aren't quarantining.
Well,
they're
getting paid scale, right?
Like, people do the craziest things. Like, this is why no one follows the rules.
Now we know. why no one follows the rules.
That's right. Yes. Naked and afraid. Exactly. I'm looking at you.
And they need the on-the-spot correction.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. And there's no prize? Why would you do that?
The prize is, you know, knowing that you've did something. You know, it adds to the your personal resiliency. Now, naked and afraid, it is kind of awkward. I think the first probably 2 days.
Yeah.
It's one male, one female. They do get over the awkwardness of being, you know, and it's sort of a social experiment as well.
Yeah.
Which I think is the interesting part. And then they just start collaborating. And well, some start collaborating and start becoming a team. Mm-hmm. Others, you can see them dividing. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which is, that's what I like to see is when the teams divide.
That is interesting, like behavioral experience.
I'm in it for the social. Monumentally bad decisions. That's what I'm in it. My wife and I have actually talked about maybe doing something similar to that where I'm like, hey, I'm going to get naked out on our balcony for the next 21 days. We're going to see if I can survive.
You would.
I would not watch that.
No. So what does the future hold for us here at Fort Hood? And as far as soldiering, and how long does this go on? I mean, what is happening?
That's a great question. I think the rate of infection and spread will really dictate once we start integrating back to processes. It's not like a light switch, like you flip it back on and everybody comes back to work doing the same stuff. We're going to have to echelon into things. And, you know, one of the first things we need to start doing is our child development services. A lot of our soldiers, either dual military or if the spouse has a job out in the civilian sector, there's no child development services that are open right now. So we got to get those open first, cleanly, good practices. You know, of course, we got to take all that into effect. Mm-hmm. And that's the first step, because if we're all in the same squad, but the child development services aren't open, and you have to watch your kids because there's no way, and she has to watch her kids, just the two of us can't accomplish squad tasks.
Absolutely.
And duties, you know, so that'll be the first step. But I think you will start seeing the Army lead the nation into resuming life as back to normal. Mm-hmm. And that starts with PCSs. Hopefully we can get that turned on. You know, that moving people across the United States, it's kind of counter to shelter in place, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's being handled very carefully right now, and each one is being looked at individually on a case-by-case scenario. But I think you'll start to see some mission essential schooling come back online, and people will start going to that, drill sergeant, recruiter, the NCOES, PA, pilot, the things that keep the Army running.
Sure.
You'll start to see those come back online, and people going TDY for those. And once again, this is all based off on the rate of spread and how it's going. How's the nation reacting? Or if they come up with a miracle vaccine here pretty soon, then, you know, we could get back to life as we know it a little bit sooner, but that's probably months down the road.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Still baby steps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's not that bad.
Sergeant Major.
Sir.
From your foxhole, how are we doing, Fort Hood community, dealing with this?
I think we're doing pretty good. There are some areas that we do need to improve on, but I think as a whole, we're doing very good. Just given the numbers, the rate of infection within our area, especially being so close to Austin, which has seen skyrocketing numbers in the past week or so, I think overall we're doing pretty good, but there are some things we do need to improve on. I think with the individual and buddy team activities that we've gone down to, we've lacked in some military discipline on some things that we quickly just need to rein in a little bit, just as a reminder, hey, we're in the Army, we got to do Army things. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I see a lot of people doing PT out there, which is great, you know, looking right outside my office window. They're out here at the 3-Corps track getting after it, and I love that. I love that people are still getting out there physically fit, because that's the basis for everything we do in the Army, is being physically fit.
Right.
And we need to protect the force, but we also need to make sure the force can deploy and go do its job. So with all of our soldiers and our troopers out there getting after it, staying physically fit, that just pleases my heart. The other aspect, I don't know, and I think, you know, something that we may feel effects of the isolation. What we don't know is, you know, how is everybody dealing with isolation? Depending if they're Gen X, Gen Z, millennials, whatever, you know, we all need to reach out and to see how they're going. You know, my big concern is, what about our soldiers and former soldiers that have PTSD? How are they doing with this without the interaction? That was what kept helping them along.
Mm-hmm.
is that social interaction, you know, to help deal with some of those issues. And, you know, what other issues are going to come up from not interacting? And I guarantee it's like being on a long road march where tactical road march. That's how I was brought up in the Army. We used to walk everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Like 6 hours, you'd walk 20 miles, you go to the range, set up a patrol base, you train for a week, and then you'd walk 20 miles back. And you couldn't say a word. You had to pull security, gun at the ready, so on and so on. So you had like 6 hours to yourself to think of nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Luckily, we've got Wi-Fi and you have cell phones and you can do a bunch of stuff now. But, you know, you're sometimes your head is a dangerous place for people with nothing to do. Right. So we need to keep checking on our soldiers. Check on your battle buddies, your squad mates, your platoon mates. And don't forget that that means your leaders, too. A lot of times nobody says, hey, boss, how you doing? We got to do that because we're in this fight together, whether it's combat, whether it's battling COVID, or if it's just day-to-day operations here, we're in this together. So do yourself a favor, do your buddy a favor and just reach out and say, hey, how you doing? Maybe you have a 10-minute FaceTime session. I know young people don't like to FaceTime. They like to text.
Yes, this is true.
But you know, just do it because, facial language, facial expressions tells a whole different story than just, some flat text. Oh, I'm doing great.
Yeah, it's good to look them in the eye.
Yep, sure is.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, Sergeant Major, I want to thank you so much for coming on to our podcast today.
I've had a blast. Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
well, it's been great having you. The highest ranking, most important person to ever be on here.
Yay.
You said there's only 17, so I don't know if this is really the highlight of my career.
Yeah.
It's pretty high up there, but I do want to thank you guys for having me on here to talk about some of these things, so we could get the voice out there, reach out. Hey, stay strong with these restrictions, the shelter in place, the social distancing. I really like, everybody that's connected to the Fort Hood community. Follow these things. We're almost there. We just got to stay strong, push through there, check on each other, get some exercise, eat healthy. And if you've got some spare time, go and donate blood. Why not?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And we will have more
right after this.
Yep.
Social distancing slows the spread of coronavirus. So stay a minimum of 6 feet away from others and stay home if you can. More info at coronavirus.gov. Let's all do our part because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's me, Super Mario. Woohoo! Hello to all my friends at the Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast. You're number one.
Left, right, left, right. Great. Start. Everybody say up, up, down, down. Left, right, left, right.
Remember back in the day when we would just sit and play, we'd sit and play and play.
For
and play
this segment of the day, podcast, the role of David Larson will be played by Blair Dupree.
Yeah.
Blair, welcome to the podcast.
I'm glad to be here.
All right, don't forget to talk into the microphone.
I'm glad to be here.
All right, now, gather around, youngins, gather around. I'll out there, gather around your radios or whatever device you're listening to this on. It's story time. Storytime with Charlie Mabe is brought to you by Aphes. No, it's not. but I'm going to tell you a story. Once upon a time, I was in Iraq during the war. And one of the things that happens when you're deployed is USO has various shows that come. And they, you know, you get to see comedians and musicians and what have you. And I came up with a great movie script idea while I was deployed in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom, right? Because one of the people that I got to meet in my job as a broadcast journalist for the U.S. Army, in fact, he was the first celebrity that I ever interviewed, was Rob Schneider, all right? And this got my brain going. So you'll find that a lot of us journalist types end up coming out of Iraq with a movie script of some sort that never gets made. And this is mine. This is my movie script that will never get made. But if someone out there wants to make this movie, please just dedicate it in the memory of me. All right. So here is my script of the movie I like to call USO. It involves Rob Schneider, who's in Hollywood, but he's fallen out of popularity. People don't really go see Rob Schneider movies anymore, and he wants a boost to his career. So his agent says that he should get on a USO tour to see the troops, and that will help his star rise, you know, do something good for good PR. So he does this, and he visits troops, and the last place on the tour is Iraq. So he goes to Iraq, and he does his shtick in Iraq, but before he goes to the helicopter to leave, he has to use the bathroom. So he goes to a port-a-johns, one of the lovely port-a-johns we had in Iraq. Well, there's a kerfluffle, and an Iraqi contractor accidentally gets confused with Rob Schneider, and he ends up going on the helicopter instead of Rob Schneider. So Rob Schneider is left in Iraq with the troops while this Iraqi contractor flies back to the United States with the rest of the USO people. Well, what ends up happening is the Iraqi contractor gets back, and lo and behold, the USO tour worked. Rob Schneider is more popular than ever. He's getting all these roles. He's in all these movies. Here's Adam Sandler appearing next to him, talking about his great friend and all this great stuff they're doing together. But it's not even Rob Schneider. It's some Iraqi guy, and no one can tell the difference. In the meantime, Rob Schneider's in Iraq, and by working with soldiers, he ends up finding the true meaning of something. I don't know, friendship or whatever. And then there's another USO tour. The Iraqi guy gets on it, and by this time he's been become completely disillusioned with Hollywood. The Iraqi guy just wants to get back home. So he gets on a USO tour, gets back to Iraq. There's a dust up again, and they switch places. Rob Schneider returns to Hollywood, where his star has once again fallen because the Iraqi guy didn't want to be there to begin with. And the Iraqi guy goes back to his family. And scene.
That was a lot.
Where's the, yeah. Where's the crickets?
No. It's the purple.
There we go.
It's the purple one.
Pushes there we go.
All the buttons. Okay, there's this Barbie movie called Princess and the Pauper. It was like, I watched it religiously as a kid, and I'm getting major
all right, I
Princess
got,
and the Pauper
vibes. I have a truth bomb.
Yeah.
Princess and the Pauper is not a Barbie movie. Well, maybe it is a Barbie movie.
It is a Barbie movie.
But it was something so much more than a Barbie movie. You realize that, right?
Yeah.
It was not Barbie-centric.
Yeah, I know. But, like, that was my childhood. But, like, it seems just like that, except without the intentional switch.
Well, the reason I brought that up, that long-winded explanation of my not-made Rob Schneider movie, and maybe for good reason that it wasn't made, is that we have someone here from the actual USO, not the unmade movie, but the real USO. And it is Kristen Rhinelander, who is the program manager for the USO Pathfinder program. Welcome to Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Tell us about the Pathfinder program. What is that? Because, to be honest, before now, I hadn't heard of it.
Sure. Well, Charlie, like your experience with the USO, a lot of folks think of the USO as concerts and coffee, whether it's the airport centers you pass through with your families or the concerts you enjoy while you're deployed overseas. The USO has been kind of your home away from home. And so the USO decided that there's really a need to continue serving that service member and their family as they go through a very volatile time of transitioning from active duty. We've been with that service member and their family from day one, and then you go to transition out, and that's it. And unless you're a retiree, you don't have access to us anymore. So the USO Pathfinder program is our transition services program. We are designed to help transitioning service members transition from active duty, veterans, and military spouses. And we are designed to complement the already existing programs through the transition assistance programs. So here on Fort Hood, we complement the Soldier for Life transition assistance program. And in doing so, we are able to provide one-on-one transition assistance. And we do that through our scouts. And they are really the pillars of our program. They are those transition specialists dedicated to that individual service member or military spouse. and they sit down with those folks and develop a plan for their transition.
Oh, wow. One-on-one?
So, one-on-one.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yes.
Because I've been through the TAPS, the transition thing, and you're in a room of people. Yeah, it's sort of, you know, it's, oh, they're going to kill me. It's kind of like you're going through the machine of leaving.
Right. Yeah.
So to be able to get one-on-one assistance is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. The beauty about what we're able to do is we have that USO trusted brand, right? And mm-hmm. because we are a voluntary transition program, we don't have to keep up with the tempo that Soldier for Life does. You know, they are the mandatory program. And so Fort Hood has one of the largest transition tempos across the entire Army. That's a big ask for anybody to provide that level of service to. We have on average 1,000 soldiers transitioning out every single month.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough people to provide adequate level of support for something as serious as transitioning from active duty. So where the USO is able to come in and complement and support TAP is because we are a voluntary program, we don't have to see all 1,000 of them that get out every single month, right? We have, mm-hmm. let's say, half of that. And we are able to provide that time and attention that their transition deserves because you've maybe had 20 plus years in service. And then we're going to condense everything down that you're supposed to know to be successful in the civilian world into 5 days. And a lot of times we see that service members are coming out of that 5-day workshop with more questions than when they walked in because you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's true. It's such a weird transition having served and you're in the Army and then you're not in the Army and it's just a day. You wake up the next day, you don't have to go to PT, you're not accountable to anyone, you're just kind of there. And it is this big, what am I supposed to do with my life at this point? Because there's always been that, I don't know, safety net, you know? There's always somebody telling you what to do, or there's always something to do, and then all of a sudden, you're on your own. So that's great that you provide that. Now, in this day and age of essential employees and social distancing and everything being shut down, how are you guys making this work? Because you're still open, right?
We are still operating at 100% functionality. And as a result of the current situation, we have moved everything to 100% virtual means. So our service delivery has not faltered. That team of transition specialist scouts are able to meet with service members and military spouses 100% either via phone or Zoom and Skype and, you know, iPhones. We can all FaceTime,
sure.
Emails. So we are heavily relying on technology. Just last week, we were even able to host a virtual workshop discussing federal resumes.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So when you go through the Pathfinder program, you're talking about how everything is very overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of 0 to 100.
Yeah.
Well, the scouts sit down with that service member spouse and develop what we call an action plan. And that is essentially like a transition checklist. So it breaks it down piece by piece of, okay, employment. Well, before you can go to your job interview, let's start with your resume. And so we have been able to offer resume review, 100% virtual and remote since the whole pandemic started.
Wow.
So that's a weekly really program nice. We offer. Same thing with LinkedIn review. So kind of those building blocks so that when the economy does start to upswing again, that service member or spouse has their whole professional development package ready to go. They have their resume. They have their LinkedIn. We're getting them plugged in with the network of hiring employers. So as soon as everyone's ready to push go, our service members are ready to respond.
That's fantastic. How long has this program been around?
Since 2015.
Wow.
And so, Fort Hood was one of the first 5 to come out.
Well, how's it? Have you heard back from people? How's it working out for soldiers and ex-soldiers?
Very well. We have grown into 20 locations nationwide.
Wow.
So I'd say we're doing something right.
Yeah.
Wow, I'd say so.
Do y'all, as far as getting a job, because like, you know, these guys that come right out of high school, you know, I went through college and I majored in business. And so they constantly made us update our resumes
sure.
all the time. So like, and just other things about going and getting a job and that type of thing. So is there anything else y'all do besides just resumes and LinkedIn and all that?
We do. So part of my role as a program manager is to go out in the community and create those relationships with hiring companies. Mm-hmm. So the Pathfinder program is really that liaison between the installation and employers. Mm-hmm. So it's my job to help create this nice little hiring package of that service member, and then essentially go out to these hiring companies and advertise their talents and the skills that they've developed while serving into a highly employable person that any of these companies would be lucky to have.
Now, are these just local companies or are these national companies?
These are national companies.
Oh, wow.
However, since we are a voluntary program, a lot of the service members and spouses that choose to come see us mm-hmm. do want to stay here locally. So that's a little bit of a challenge, right? Because we aren't San Antonio, you know, we don't have the luxury of having a large city, you know, right out our back door. And so if you want one of those bigger companies, you may have to travel down to Austin.
Sure.
However, we've seen with this COVID-19 pandemic that a lot of roles, myself included, right, are now being forced to learn how to operate 100% virtual. So my hope is that, you know, maybe later down the road that a lot of these roles that would traditionally have to be a brick and mortar may be able to be operated remotely.
Yeah, that's. I think we're going to see a real huge change in how America does business. I think we're going to see a lot more mobile stuff, and we're going to find that there were some areas that traditionally you were stuck in a cubicle or something, but hey, now you can be at home and do this, and it's actually going to save companies money, going to make them more efficient, but they're still going to have the same workforce, so they're not having to cut people. Now, if someone is interested in participating in this program, how do they get in touch with you? Because they can't walk in now.
They can't. I'll get to that in a second.
All right.
but for the time being, which hopefully will be very shortly, once this podcast rolls out, we won't have much longer to go, hopefully. But in the interim, you can go to www.uso.org/Pathfinder. And when you get to that webpage, you're going to click a button that says Connect with a Scout Today. When you do so, be sure that you choose Fort Hood so you can work with my great team here. Now, like I mentioned before, we do have 20 locations across the country. And the beauty of that is, say you start working with my team here and we get you ready to find that next career, but you want to relocate to sunny San Diego.
Okay.
We have a Pathfinder program out at Camp Pendleton. And so what we will do is my team on the back end will work to introduce you to the Gaining Scout Transition Specialist at Camp Pendleton. So while you may be moving your family across the country, we're going to take care of that warm handoff and introduction to your transition specialist. So it's one less thing that you and your family have to think about. You land in California, they're there to pick you up and kind of put together the pieces for your transition plan.
Well, that's great. You know, it's another one of the benefits of being associated with the military that they don't advertise up front. You know, I say this, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again right now, but it always amazes me how much the military and organizations associated with the military, like the USO, set people up for success who are leaving. Because there's no other job you can get out there. There's no other company that when you decide to stop working for that company, are they going to say, you know what, we're going to help you get a new job. You didn't like it here? We're going to help you work for this place.
Yeah.
But you guys do, and that is fantastic.
So I know the older location from the old USO was in the White Barn near the Chili's on Fort Hood, and y'all moved recently, correct?
We did.
Where'd y'all go?
So we essentially went from one side of the Chili's to the other. We are now located directly across in the food court, building 121, formerly the Rivers Building. And so folks that come see us, depending on how long they've served for, may know us as the old in-processing center.
Okay,
yeah.
And then after that, it was CYS. And then now it's the USO. So we have that entire building, which is wonderful.
Wow, that's like a lot bigger than the other location. Because I went to the USO when I first got here. So, like, how much bigger is it?
Golly. I mean, we have over 33,000 square feet.
Wow.
So we are able, we have our Pathfinder operations in-house with enough room. Folks that have come to the Pathfinder program before will laugh because my team of scouts, all three shared an office, and that's where they would meet with the service member or spouse.
Okay.
So it wasn't that glamorous, but like I said, we're a nonprofit, so we do it with what we can.
Sure.
Yeah. Now each scout has their own office, which is huge for just comfortability of that service member or spouse that we're assisting, privacy.
Yeah.
What I'm most excited about is before I would host lunch and learns. Mm-hmm. So in true USO fashion, we feed you. Hence the name lunch.
Yes.
And then you're going to learn something. So I'll bring in a subject matter expert, whether that's working with organizations on post or those outside employers to discuss resume tips or even VA benefits. Mm-hmm. The education center will come in and talk about education benefits.
That's wonderful.
So we do these workshops, and I would constantly have to go around post, whether it's the Copeland Center or Oveda Culp or the Soldier and Family Assistance Center, and find different places that would house me for the afternoon. And now the USO, our lunch and learns will actually be at the USO.
Wow, that makes your job a lot easier. And I feel like that will make that makes your services better too for the soldiers when they come in now.
It's just more cohesive, you know, because you can meet with your scout and then say, we give you all these really great resume resources.
Mm-hmm.
And you have them in your handy little action plan, which is found in our USO app. And so you may have a little bit of break in your day and you want to go work on your resume. Well, all you have to do is walk out our office, go up three little stairs, and you're in our USO center that has 25 brand new state-of-the-art computers that you can print. And that was always like the USO's, you know, big ticket was the free printing.
The free printing, so yeah, of course.
We still have that. We have free printing and complimentary lunch because it is donated by our local sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to have that. We have TVs and couches. Like, it's like your living room at home. And it's so nice to be able to say that because now I feel like it's a place that service members and spouses will want to spend time and bring their kids and have lunch together. It's just, I can't wait till we're all finally cleared and ready to open.
Yeah. Something to really look forward to. Yeah.
You guys had a complete remodel of that building, didn't you?
Oh yeah. It was
great.
Golly. I mean, so I've been with USO Fort Hood for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 years ago we were talking about this.
So, wow.
It's been a long time coming, but I think people that have seen what we came from will just be so impressed and grateful and thankful, like all the staff are, that this is now what we have to offer service members and their families.
Yeah.
They were going to have a big name musician.
Yeah. It was Sierra. Help
with Sierra.
Oh, yeah.
Was going to do a concert.
Yes.
I know that had to be delayed because that was just like right on the cusp of when this coronavirus wave hit.
We were like, 2 weeks, just too late.
So is that, can you give us a little inside scoop? Is that something maybe
gonna... I can tell you that it's still happening. Okay. Ooh. But details.
Well, the details now, who knows?
Details, you know. Well, you heard it here first.
Come on. That's going to be exciting. Maybe we can, when you guys finally do end up having your big opening bash, maybe we can do a podcast.
That would be awesome.
From there, that would be fun.
We have the space.
I want to thank you for taking the time to be on the show. Before we head out, one more time, can you give us that information? If people want to get hooked up with the Pathfinder program, what do they need to do?
Absolutely. Okay, so grab a pen, piece of paper. The website is going to be www.uso.org/Pathfinder. We are located at building 121, which is directly across from the food court. If you do happen to go over there currently while we are all social distancing, there is signage on the door that has that information as well.
Oh, okay.
So, and there's also a phone number to call. So if you have any questions, that phone number is going to be 254-415-2728. And that is our direct line for the Pathfinder program.
Fantastic. Once again, I want to thank you so much for being with us here. And the podcast will be back right after these non-commercial messages.
Here he is, Jeff Snarkworthy.
Thank you, yeah. If you've got a sudden unexpected fever, you might have coronavirus. If you've traveled from or through a state where coronavirus is prevalent, you might have coronavirus. If that fever of yours, if it's accompanied by a feeling of shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, you might have coronavirus.
Coronavirus is steadily spreading across not only the United States, but the world. Being aware of the signs and symptoms of coronavirus helps keep us all safe. If you suspect that you may have been infected with the virus, call 254-553-6612. That's the Fort Hood Health Hotline, 254-553-6612.
If you've been around some place where people were infected, if you got that fever, shortness of breath, and a cough, you might have coronavirus.
Coronavirus. It's no laughing matter.
Hello?
Fort Hood's great big podcast. Close enough for the government, good enough for you.
Coming on strong on a Monday. I feel so low.
Yep. Harley, what are we doing?
I'm sorry. What, are we still doing this thing?
I think so.
Okay,
yeah,
hold on.
We're...
hold on.
Well, you made 200 bells the last time you had it on.
Yeah.
That's true. I did. Trying to sell some turnips.
He's getting up there.
Trying to sell some turnips. So.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
The USO.
Oh, well, no, they were on.
Yes, they were on.
Yeah.
It's been fun, huh? Yeah. This has been a show.
It has.
Yeah. It's interesting. I feel like normally we don't get the same, like, multiple guests on the same day. Like, we have to coordinate more.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice that they were all.
I also felt like we had two guests on the same day.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's easier for me when we, like, record longer.
Well, yeah. That's because you're not in this office. You have to travel. We're here. We're baked in.
Yeah.
You are not.
And we appreciate your hard work and dedication.
Well, thank you for your service.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do we got coming up for next week, Brianna?
Next week?
Mm-hmm.
Probably a lot more Animal Crossing. That's
on the show?
I hope so.
I don't think so.
I'm not voting for that.
Only trip to the island.
Okay. To talk about next.
Are we gonna top the Sergeant Major? We got a little something going on.
Oh.
We got a little something.
I'm excited.
Got a little something.
Yeah.
You better stay tuned then.
Yeah.
So you can
come on back.
Yeah. But as you can tell by the music, it's time to say auf Wiedersehen. So long. Farewell.
No, it's happy trails, man.
Happy trails. To you, until we meet again.
I think in the closing songs in the stores. Closing time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, time to something, something, because it's something, something, something.
Yeah.
Closing time. Something.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Yeah. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home.
Take me home.
Take me down to the paradise city where the grass is green.
Stop. Come on, man.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. If you actually made it to this point, pat yourself on the back.
We love you.
Yeah, we do. Okay. So, everybody, this is it, and we will smell you later.
Watch that hygiene.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
We won't smell you because you're doing coronavirus.
What does that have to do with smelling?
Because if you have good hygiene.
Oh, I guess.
And if you have coronavirus, you can't smell anything. Right?
That's true. Ooh. Ooh.
If you have it,
there you go.
You can't taste or smell.
That's right. And if maybe, I don't know, what about having no taste? That was my thought. Wouldn't it be much more fun if coronavirus took away your sense of taste? Not like your actual sense of taste, but like suddenly you're wearing tacky clothes and people were like, what's up with that? I think you might have the coronavirus.
What if we already do that?
No, he's already there. He's always dressed like that. All right. All right. All right. We got to go.
We're actually gone.
Yeah. We're, well.